Welcome to show 100, excuse me, welcome to show number 923, this third day of February. I'm Todd Cochran, your host. Strap in, here it comes. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, bringing the latest tech and science news, coming to you live from beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save today at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Fans, strap yourself in for a great show. Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast, is ready. It's showtime. Hey everyone, welcome to Geek News Central. My name, of course, is Todd Cochran. And I tell you, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Lots of stuff to really go over. It's going to be a great show. I was digging through the tech content tonight, and I was just like, wow, lots of cool stuff to talk about. So you got a lot to look forward to, but going to give everyone a warm welcome. All the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show, thanks for being here and thanks for staying subscribed. And if you're brand new to the show, we want to welcome you here to the podcast and want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content. Our writers continue to be very busy on the website, putting up stuff. And of course, along with all the shows that we have, all the content we have available from the New Media Show or the Gadget Professor or Robot Underpants. There's lots of content on the site, and we want you to get subscribed to that. You can find the iTunes link in the second column of the website and or the newsletter as well. Newsletter link's there, so you can get subscribed to the newsletter. You can follow me on Twitter, and really this is the best way to sometimes reach out and just give me a quick shout-out at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. I think if I'm hitting the right buttons, geeknews@gmail.com is the place to come to actually drop me an email and let me know what's happening here. Like, kind of an interesting day and kind of an emotional day. And I can't go into all the details. Some of it will become self-evident a little later in the show. But it's just been kind of one of those interesting afternoons and getting into the show tonight, I had a whole bunch of stuff I had to kind of change up to kind of get prepped for tonight's show. But we're continuing to move forward here. No real concerns. But it's always, it's one of those things where change is, in sometimes my opinion, is good. Sometimes change is not good. And I'll kind of let you guys be the judge of that here in just a little bit. But I want to encourage you all to follow me on Google+, on Facebook. And, of course, all the show notes are back now at geeknewscentral.com. You don't have to go over to the other website anymore because we've kind of figured a way out to keep Google from penalizing us from having all the links in the website. So I hope that you're enjoying that. And, of course, you can check us out on the Tech Podcast channel over on the Roku, Google TV, Boxy. Kick back and really watch the show from your lazy boy or from your couch or laying in bed, wherever it may be. It's a great way to kind of catch the show. So please do that. Now, tonight's show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at the show. We're very grateful for having them on board. And this morning, I got an email from one of our listeners that said, Todd, the promo code COMSALE is not working. And we've had that happen from time to time. GoDaddy periodically goes through and looks at codes and expires them. And usually I email them back and say, hey, some codes expired. Can you get them back online? And the response today was a little bit surprising. So the codes that I had before, Aloha, COMSALE, Geek 5, Geek, a variety of codes there to save money have been permanently expired. And there is some email correspondence going back and forth with the folks at GoDaddy. We've been talking about they've been getting rid of some codes little by little. And we've got some great deals. Don't get me wrong. We've got some great promo codes for you guys to use. But what I was trying to explain to the folks over at GoDaddy is that some of those codes, especially the 20, 15, and the $10 off codes, the Todd code, which has been there forever. I mean, really, the Todd code, Todd at COMSALE, you know, all those codes were mine since really 2005. And they've been an integral part of the codes that we share with this audience. And, you know, my philosophy has always been, and you know, I love GoDaddy, and that hasn't changed a bit. But my philosophy has always been with the sponsors on this show is that, you know, we want to make sure that you get a good deal up front. And that's really important for me, that you get a great deal where you can save a lot of money. And we've got some of the best deals going right now that we've ever had. And we've been talking about that for a while. But I also want to make sure that when stuff comes up for renewal, you've got the ability to save a little money. Now, we got to understand when GoDaddy sells a discounted product, they want you to stay multiple years. And they give you a little bit of a discount on the renewals. And it's not as big as maybe that first discount that you get, you know, for like the $2.95.coms that are going on right now. You know, you can't expect to have that renew at $2.95 the following year. Or nobody makes any money and they don't stay in business. But we were able to, you know, have a few codes for you guys to use to get a little bit of a discount. And I understand what GoDaddy's doing. We've, you know, we've always been focused on this show from the very, very beginning. I want to bring in new customers. That's how I earn money, is I have to bring in new customers to GoDaddy. Those of you that are existing customers with GoDaddy, we really don't see any revenue from that. But I still want to make sure, just because you guys have been loyal in buying products over there, that we had something to offer to you when it came renewal time. So what's been happening in the last 6 months or so, and I've even seen it on my stuff, is GoDaddy will call me, account rep will call me, said, you got a server coming up, or you've got a dozen domains that are coming up for renewal. We can offer you a discount right over the phone to process those. And oftentimes, I'll even take that discount because maybe it's better than something I have. But at the same time, there's been times I'll just use my own code to renew a product, and I might not get as big of a discount. I get $20 off or something to that effect. And so for me, it was always about those core codes were always there for you guys to use where you could for renewals, or if there was some deal that didn't quite match up, you could find I told you guys, use the best code for whatever occasion it was. And so anyway, I've explained that to the team at GoDaddy and said, hey, you know, those codes are kind of an integral part of this show. And I'm pretty passionate about trying to get those activated again. So we'll see where it happens. So it has been kind of a, as I said earlier in the beginning of the show, one of those days where I'm kind of like, you know, And at the same time, the deals continue to be incredible from a savings standpoint. Now, on the Super Bowl, we know that if you were watching all the ads, Gwen, one of the new spokespersons at GoDaddy, basically told her boss, I quit, on national television in front of 100 million people. And with that, she's put in her formal notice today, and her 2 weeks notice. So while she quit, she's still, you know, carrying out her final 2 weeks at work. And so we knew they were going to do something, but you know, here's the thing: what the information really that we've been passed is, and let's see if I can find the link here. There we go. Gwen is from Yonkers, New York, and she sells handmade puppets and puts on a puppet shows at hospitals, birthday parties, and neighborhoods events. And she actually recorded a spot for the show. And we have that spot. I'm going to see if I can play that now. And let's have a word here from Gwen.
Hi, my name is Gwen. I'm a GoDaddy customer and spokesperson. GoDaddy helped me launch my new puppet business. They have everything you need to put your business online, find new customers, and kick ass. Get started by registering a domain name and creating your website with GoDaddy's easy-to-use website builder. Already have a site? Keep it running fast with GoDaddy web hosting. It's go time. Visit GoDaddy.com, enter promo code GO32OFF1, and save 32% on your new purchases. Some limitations apply. See website for details.
So Gwen has built herself her site on with GoDaddy website builder to help her business stand out. And, you know, just heard from her, and she promoted our promo code 32OFF1. That we want you guys to use to get your 32% discount. We've also got some special discounts strictly for website builder. And let's see if I can bring that up on the webpage here. So all the codes that are available right now are still on the geeknewscenter.com/GoDaddy page. We've got the 50% off new hosting plans. We got 50% off first 12 months of business website builder by using 50WSB7. The 32% off code that Gwen was just promoting. The $295.com for one or new transfer.com for the first year by using the promo code 295GEEK. So not as many codes, but some great codes there for saving some great money at GoDaddy. And we hope that you guys will consider picking up a GoDaddy product. And I think the thing that's important here is, as we've talked about in the past, less jiggle, more substance. And I'm proud of GoDaddy making that kind of that shift. And I think the ads on the Super Bowl were a lot more fun. There wasn't as many, for a better word, Twitter comments about the jiggle. So again, less jiggle, more substance. It's fantastic. And we're glad to see Gwen on board and making her her transition. And I hope that you guys will continue to support me here at Geek News Central by picking up products at GoDaddy by going to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Spent a lot of time on that. But, you know, this is all about, this show has always been open. And I really discuss pretty much everything with you guys and let you know. And, you know, I thought you guys would deserve that because we had already gotten a couple of emails from folks today saying, hey, that code's gone. Where's that one? And so I just wanted to tell the entire audience. And the big challenge was going through geeknewscentral.com, the whole website, because I've had those codes so long. I had to go all the way back to 2006, stripping some blog posts out so those codes wouldn't be in there any longer. Because I want people to be able to find good codes when they come to the website and use them. And it doesn't do the site or me any good to send somebody to GoDaddy with a expired code. So apologize for not being able to make that available to you, but we'll see what happens here over the next couple of weeks as I make my case with the sales team over there. All right, let's go ahead and switch up here. The last show, I was quite the knucklehead. Started the show, got all excited. Everything was up running and recording. Everything was good. I got done with the show and turned, and I never started the audio recorder. And I was in a mild panic because I thought, oh my God, that, you know, praying that when I switched to turn off the video recorder, it was good. It was fine. So I was able to pull the audio out. But as I was going through the video, I was like, audio's not where it should be. It was basically it had too much amp on the mixer. So I dialed that back about 5 dB. So we should be much better on the video audio. So, you know, two good things come to it. I paid a little closer attention to the audio on the video recording. So no one complained. Thank you so much for that, but I appreciate it. Hey, this past Saturday, we had the new media show. And, of course, we talked with Rob Greenlee and talked about Rob's move to Podcast One. And he couldn't reveal yet what was going on at Microsoft with the Windows Phone and the podcast directory over there. But hopefully he'll be able to do that soon. I've kind of been, I guess for a better word, read in, but I can't say yet either. I can't break Rob's confidence on this, but should have an announcement hopefully at the end of the week. Did have a couple of emails from folks asking about the podcaster auditions. What I'm really looking for is to start some new shows on Geek News Central. I want, if you've got an existing show and you're part of a tech podcast and all that, that's fine. That's all good. But all I'm trying to do is build the internal network here at Geek News Central. So we build a bigger core of shows for everyone to come to on this website to be able to, you know, better just have a little more expanded content. And so that's what I kind of meant about that. If you're interested in aligning your show very tightly with Geek News Central, that would be great. If you want to bring a new show to Geek News Central, that's cool as well. You can get all the benefits of being on Tech Podcast and everywhere else because that all come as part of the package. But we definitely are looking for some new shows. And also, I'm looking for somebody to take over the Chrome show. And so if you're interested in taking over that show, that's potential as well. Okay, so what else is going on? Hey, I want to thank all the insiders. We've had a couple new insiders pop in this past week. I want to appreciate it. A couple of real good ones, too. I think there was two at 10 and one at 5. So I want to thank you guys for coming in and becoming an insider at geeknewscentral.com/insider. The Geek News Central multi-user site is kind of it's really dragging to get it launched, largely because I've got Angelo just buried. Three major projects we're trying to get out. And matter of fact, I told him, quit answering email and stay coding this week, and I'll pick up as much as the emails we can. We're trying to get these three things out. So trying to get that ahead so we can do the transition here, and look forward to making the Geek News Central website really a change. And we're going to be making some website design changes as well to basically bring it up to date. You know, it's about 2.5-3 years behind of some of the major tech designs. But probably going to have to go to a 2-column design, and I got to figure out how I'm going to do that and deal with everything that we have on the website. But that's probably the plan. All right, so let's go ahead and switch up here. Let's get into the content. And again, this is show number 923 on our march to 1,000. Don't forget about our friends at Dropcam and Gazelle. You find them on the 2-column website. There's a link there. Pick up a Dropcam today. Sometimes you can check out what's going on in the studio here when I have the studio cam turned on. And, of course, turn in a product with Gazelle and get some cash. That's the way to save some good or get some good money back in your bank account and pay for some bills or maybe have to help with your taxes. Who knows? But anyway, let's move on here. Lots to share tonight. All right. And I'm going to tell you, this is an interesting article. And oh my, why does Chrome do that? Flash has crashed. And something I'm going to cover probably next Saturday a lot with Rob. There's a great article talking about earning $100,000 a year from making YouTube videos and talking about how it isn't as fun as it sounds. And, you know, I have to admit that as I read this article, there was one gal, she said she was doing 20 videos a week to make $120,000 a year. Now, I'm going to tell you, doing 20 videos a week, now, obviously, they're not as long as this show. This show is, you know, an hour 10. You know, they're doing these 5-6 minute spots, and, you know, they have to be real snippy, and every one of them has to go viral in order to earn $100,000 a year. And I'm looking at the schedule that this gal has, and I would love to see her hour breakdown, because I bet in the end, if you look at the time that she puts in and the stress that she has to overcome, that that $100,000 a year, she could probably much easily make that. I think she lives in New York. So, you know, she could probably make $100,000 at a regular job. And putting in 40 hours a week or 50, instead of probably putting in 100 hours a week. And I understand that the trade is fun and it's exciting, but 20 videos a week to me is almost like, you know, you might be putting in 100 hours a week to get that done. You know, I 5 hours for a single video would not necessarily be unheard of. Maybe not. Maybe they don't put in that much time. But I just would like to see what she really makes per hour when she does the math. And that's something I do here. You know, it's something that my wife and I look at. I know how much is coming into the show. I know how much we outgo. And I, you know, do the math and I can figure out how much it costs, you know, what I earn per hour sitting in this chair doing this show. And we really can see, you know, from that standpoint, where it makes sense or doesn't make sense. And so these folks that are on YouTube that have to do 20 videos a week to make $100,000 a year, to me is insane. Absolutely insane. And it talks about some of the CPM stuff. But anyway, I just, I thought it was pretty nuts. I was just like, man, I would not want to have to live that way. I couldn't do it. I'd have a heart attack. I'd be dead. You know, it just wouldn't work. And, but anyway, that's what I have up there, and I have up there in the show notes for you. Hey, during a press conference, and there was a lot of stuff being talked about with the NASA team. They're still talking about this rock on Mars that suddenly appeared in front of NASA's Opportunity rover. And people are still kind of questioning whether or not the rover actually tiddlywinked that thing from pressure off the rover wheel, or if there was an impact event that was close to the rover and the rock dropped in. But Mr. William Shatner himself weighed in on Twitter, and he said he'd like to know if he ruled out the Martian rock throwers in the case of the jelly donut. Now, that's what they're calling the rock. They're calling it a jelly donut. So in the NASA video, at 2 minutes and 32 seconds in the video I have linked up, you can hear that come in and the kind of the smile and giggle and the response that was made by the NASA team. But one thing that is interesting is that they have done a pan with the camera, and they can't find where this thing came from. They're looking, and they're having some issues because of the light angle right now with the way the sun is positioned in the sky, you know, from the angle that they have. They think that might be affecting them being able to see the ground clearly, which I thought was kind of weird, because why don't they take an image of it, you know, at dawn or something, when there wouldn't be a problem. But long story short here is they are still trying to figure out where it came from. But I find it interesting that Shatner weighed in on this. There's also a lot of discussion and some rumors about the new iPhone, specifically iPhone 6. And they're specifically, three or four people have confirmed this, saying that there probably be two phone sizes, phone screen sizes. One, a 4.7 to 4.8 inch screen. And the larger iPhone will pack a 5.5. So we'll see where this leads. Time will tell, but I think most of us want a bigger screen. I want to go right up to this, you know, where the Galaxy, where the Galaxy 4 is. Give me a screen that big. That's what I really want. I want a big, juicy screen like the Samsung phones have. Instead of, you know, really, you put an iPhone next to a Galaxy and you're kind of like, okay. And I understand why they've made it smaller, but it's time. It's time for a bigger screen. I'm not going to link this up in the show notes, but the folks over at TechDirt have the response from the Electronic Frontier Foundation talking about the subpoena that was made by the folks over at is basically this podcasting from Personal Audio, who's got the lawsuits going against Adam Carolla and several other podcasters. But it lists the eight things that the Personal Audio wanted from the EFF. But then if you read through the 25-page filing that the EFF made is basically in response to the subpoena, it's pretty incredible. It's a pretty amazing read. The 7 pages of the filing from Personal Audio is nothing as compared to the response from EFF. And basically they're trying to flat out quash the entire subpoena. But if you just want to search for this, you can go TechDirt Personal Audio or TechDirt podcasting patent subpoena, and you'll find the link in the show notes. Now, just for your guys' reasoning why I'm not putting this link up in the show notes, it's should be obvious by now. This next article should make all of us shudder. And this is something that was reported over at CNN. And it's talking about Hitachi has created what's called a perfect virtual boss. Now, I want you guys to think about your boss. And you know, your boss, he makes the rounds, right? Comes check up on everybody from time to time. Do you have one of those bosses that just micromanage everything? You know, if you have to go to the bathroom, it's kind of like you're looked at and scrutinized. Well, Hitachi, according to, and this is the write-up that Slashdot gave, the company is manufacturing and selling a device intended to increase efficiency in the workplace. It's called the Hitachi Business Microscope. Device looks like an employee ID badge that most companies issue. Workers are instructed to wear it in the office. Embedded inside each badge, according to Hitachi, are infrared sensors, an accelerometer, a microphone, and a wireless communication device. Hitachi says that the badge will record and transmit to management who talks to whom, how often, where, and how energetically. It tracks everything. If you get up to walk on the office a lot, the badge sends information to management how often you do it and where you go. If you stop to talk with people throughout the day, the badge transmits who you're talking to by reading your coworker's badge and for how long. They also report on, do you contribute at meetings or just sit there? Either way, the badge tells your boss or bosses or overlords or the people that are in some room somewhere monitoring everything. How could anyone work at a place like that? You talk about stifling creativity and discussions, and you just think about everything that comes out of my mouth is going to be monitored. What happens in conversations? You have a conversation and you talk to a coworker and they say, that's dumb. And they'll respond back and you'll have this conversation back and forth. And usually you come to a common ground and you move forward, or you come up with an idea and you share it and they say it's good. There's this dynamic that happens in office, right? A little bit of joking around, it just kind of happens, right? But imagine how sterile. Only the Japanese could come up with this. It only so sterile and so strict and so square. I can't imagine this ever coming into an American business. And if you're like, oh my God, my boss would love this, it's time to find a new job. It just sounds to me so ugh. I guess they're gonna have cameras and mount, it's just like if you hire someone, you have to be able to trust them, right? Yeah, there's obviously performance reviews and everything like that, but people just don't operate well under a microscope. And calling this a Hitachi business microscope is just so good and so bad of a product title. It just blows my mind. It really does. But anyway, a virtual boss that keeps you on a short leash from Hitachi. I don't get it. I really don't. Hey, if you want to see a great video, have you watched the GoPro video of this new video of the guy that jumped out of the capsule 100,000 feet? You're going to freak out. I haven't watched it till today. It's 8 minutes long. And the fascination of that this guy could have been in big trouble because he came out of the capsule fine, and he's going down. And at some point, picks up a little air turbulence, and he starts to turn and spin. And it wasn't pretty at all. And you can tell he was struggling. I think it was largely, it looks to me like an almost uncontrolled descent. He was along for the ride, and his body survived. He got his wits about him when he got a lower altitude and got some stability going. But you can just tell in his voice. If you just hear his voice, to me, it's like he's on the verge of 100% freaking out. But I think anyone would step off a capsule from 100,000 feet and you exceed like 700 miles per hour in your descent. Holy cow. Crazy stuff. But anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to watch the video yourself. Google is basically putting Google Now notifications in the Chrome beta. And I don't know how many of you guys like those, if you've got your Android out and you get those notices, or actually they basically accumulate at the top of your Chrome device. But they're going to start putting these in. In Google Chrome, you're going to get a box that's going to say someone that is going to either chat to you, or you got a package that's been shipped, or all the things that come up now in Google Now are going to start coming up in your Chrome window. So I don't know if it's going to be annoying or not, but it's coming. It's in the beta. You won't get it until at a later date, but That is a forthcoming release. At the same time, the new Google Chrome feature warns users when a browser has been hijacked. So a pop-up window automatically is activated when suspicious activity is detected. So this new feature basically warns user when browser settings have been altered by a malicious software. The new protection was unveiled in a blog post. So this is pretty cool. It's designed to augment a feature introduced in October that allow users to return Chrome settings to a factory fresh state with the click of a single button. And I've used that several times here when I've got a little bit weirded out about how Chrome was acting. So we know that coding frequently hits browsers, but you want to be warned about it, and you don't, you know, basically some spyware, something being implemented. But we will see where this goes, and we'll see what happens with Chrome extensions when this happens. But I think this is an exciting development for Chrome, and I hope to see this come to more browsers as time goes on. With Apple turning 30, what they did was, or the Mac turning 30, Apple created a video, and they used iPhones to create a pretty nice video. And if you haven't seen this yet, I'll have it up in the show notes. I just still to this day have a hard time thinking about using my mobile device to create a bunch of video coverage. You know, you have to get the audio really good. If you don't get the audio good, it's just, you know, it's not going to be that great of a video. But obviously they had some sort of real nice auto recording gear behind this, because you could just tell from the soundtrack it sounded pretty good. All right, one thing I want to share with you guys is some screenshots of North Korea's homegrown operating system. And they say this is looks a lot like Apple's OS X. Version 3.0 of Red Star Linux presents users with a radical refresh of its desktop design, one that closely matches OS X. The new look replaces the Windows 7-like desktop that was used in version 2. So basically, this is a Korea Computer Center, a development center in Pyongyang, began developing Red Star about a decade ago. And of course, we all know that North Korea, you know, basically can get shot for going on the internet. Sent to a work camp for using the Word. I'm actually kind of being semi-serious here, because that's how ridiculous they are. But, you know, most North Koreans have never been on the internet. Of course, some people in educational facilities are going to be able to, but the screenshots were brought out from a computer scientist who recently spent a semester teaching in Pyongyang University. And so it is kind of an interesting look and taking a look at their operating system. It does look a lot like, from a function standpoint, OS X. I guess if you are told you have to get the software released, or you don't eat, or we're going to take you out back and shoot you, you'd probably be pretty motivated to put together an operating system. And it runs on Linux, like I said, so it's just the GUI that they've had to build. Hey, Panasonic is working on an actual alien power loader. Now, you're thinking, huh? Now, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? A power loader. You know, in the Matrix, they had those guys with the power loaders that actually had weapons attached to them. Well, a subsidiary called ActiveLink has powered a exosuit, basically, that works and will let humans lift up to 220 pounds and run of speeds up to 5 miles per hour. The powered jacket MK3 is basically in design work at the point, and they're calling it a powder lower. Now, they're naming it after the Caterpillar P5000 powered work loader from the Alien films. But to me, it just looks more like kind of the stuff that they were using in the Matrix a little bit. But we will see where this goes. But Panasonic is about to introduce a machine where we can mount gear to it to fight off whatever may be thrown at us. Let's talk about Prenda a little bit. They're back in the news. It's not good, as you would expect. We know that Judge Dara in Northern Illinois has agreed to sanction Paul Duffy of Prenda Law for some of his egregious behavior. And he didn't play around. The ruling is just nothing less than a slam dunk. And this guy did all kinds of stuff that the judge said is real shady, the verge of basically he called him everything except for a big fat liar, cheat, scam artist. You know, the words that the judge used were, you know, very legal-esque. But boy, you know, he talks about to address his lie in court, and but long story short, the plaintiffs in this, Paul Goodfred, Alan Cooper, and a bunch of internet commenters are going to basically get some cash. Well, the lawyer's going to get some cash, and so long story short, the judge made an 11-page ruling here, and Prenda's going to be paying for a long, long, long time. Hey, over on the Washington Post, they're reporting that roughly 22,000 people have claimed they were charged too much and steered into the wrong insurance program or denied coverage by the healthcare.gov website. And they put in an appeal. Many of those appeals have been filled out for a long time. There are the appeal, if you have an issue with healthcare.gov, is 7 pages. It's a 7-page form you have to fill out, and you have to mail them to a federal contractor's office in Kentucky where they're scanned and entered. First of all, you've gotten screwed over by the healthcare.gov website. You've either paying too much, you got the wrong plan, or you denied coverage. So 22,000 people have filled out a 7-page paper form, mailed them to a federal contractor office in Kentucky where they're scanned. Oh, they scan them now, but workers at CMS, the company that is managing all this, cannot read them because that part of the healthcare.gov system has not been built. So first of all, they're making them fill their claims out on paper. What was a billion? How many billions of dollars have we spent on this system? ineptitude at its best. You know, I'm thinking about this in my mind. A simple, you know, I bet about 50% of this audience can go over to Google Docs. You know, and there's a way over there. You can make a form, right? And all you do is you go through and you question, and you have a place for an answer. And at the end of the form, when you get all done, there's a place to submit. It will actually either create a document or email to someone. I mean, it's real simple. We do it like on a weekly basis. Probably my fifth grader could figure this out. But yet the government wants these 22,000 people to fill out a 7-page form. Probably most of it's your name, your address, your telephone number, how much you make, you know, all the stuff that you probably already entered into healthcare.gov, and probably one block at the end said, what's your problem? As someone said in the chat room, welcome to 1984. I would love to have been the company that ripped the government off of all this money. Not really, but you think about it, the absolute failure. You know, you think about eBay or think about Google or Amazon, you know, where you would have to fill out a 7-page form to return a product or have something change. Simply insane. It really, really is. And, you know, it should make all of us question. How much waste is just because of stupidity like this? You know, how many of our taxpayer dollars is being sent every year that just basically you might as well take the cash and put it in a big burning pot, barrel and burn the cash. You know, because that's what's effectively happening with this complete ineptitude of being able to launch something. It's just crazy. This is February? They're saying March is the key month. March is where things have really got to fall in or this thing is going to implode. That's what all the talking heads say. We'll see. I hope not, but it could get ugly. All right, new Senate House bill would restore net neutrality. Democrats in the House and Senate have introduced legislation that will give the FCC authority to impose net neutrality rules until it can come up with a more permanent legal fix. So this is being introduced. Let's see who the players are here. On the Senate side, six Democrats are co-sponsoring the measure, including Ed Markey, Massachusetts, Al Franken, Minnesota, Rod Wyden, Oregon. Nine Democrats in the House are sponsoring a bill, including Henry Waxman, California, Anna Eshko of Connecticut, Frank Pallone of New Jersey, Doris Matsui of California, and Mike Dole of Pennsylvania. Let's see, do we have any Republican co? Saying that Republicans are unlikely that the bill will get very far. And, of course, the Republicans pushed to repeal FCC net neutrality rules. So my recommendation for you, if you have a Republican representative, is to probably pick up the phone and call. Probably not a problem on the Senate side, but definitely a problem on the House side. So if you think that this net neutrality stuff should be pushed back through, you need to get on the phone and ask your congressional leader to support the bill. I don't have a number for you. Let's see. It doesn't say here. Representative Waxman, senior Democrat in the House Energy and Commerce Committee, reiterated in his statement that the legislation is meant to protect citizens across to the internet until the FCC can come up with its own fix. And you guys know I'm a big net neutrality fan. So, you know, get out there and make those phone calls, okay? All right, in 6 months, the NSA spied on more than 59,000 accounts. So this is a new number here. In the wake of the legal battles to provide more transparency about the number of government national security requests, Yahoo reported between January and June last year, the government sought between 30 and 40,000 user accounts. Google reported it received FISC requests for between 9 and 10,000 accounts. In case of both companies, the number of accounts affected far outweigh the number of requests to receive, indicating that at least some of the requests involved data on multiple user accounts. Google, for example, received less than 1,000 requests that encompassed 9,000 user accounts, while Yahoo also received fewer than 1,000 requests but affected more than 30,000 accounts. So that's kind of curious. So probably one person had more than one account. Let's see here. Facebook and Microsoft released transparency report today. Facebook said it had received requests for content between 5,000 and 6,000 user accounts in the first half of 2013, while Microsoft disclosed received requests that affected between 15,000 and 16,000 accounts. So interesting numbers there. Link will be up in the show notes. Hey, Windows 8.1 updated download. The software's been leaked. And it's showing off some of the new Microsoft features. 8.1, I've really, you know, I've got one machine or two machines on Windows 8 and been real hesitant to make the jump. But looking at some of the features, looks like it's kind of starting to shape up a little bit. And so we know that Microsoft will not release 8.1 until at least March. But again, the software has been leaked, exposing updates. And based on leaks, it seems Microsoft's aiming for a more old-fashioned feel with its latest update. The most obvious change is a new title bar for Microsoft Windows 8-style apps, allowing you to close, minimize, and snap apps to appear side-by-side with a mouse. And so interesting what this is going to do. Microsoft added a search and power buttons to start screen. That's a good thing because, you know, half the time I've got... My problem is I got so much stuff loaded on computers that it just goes on and on and on and on for rows. And if you don't have a touchscreen, it really makes it a pain to go through everything. So we'll see what happens with 8. Hey, if you stayed at a Marriott or a Sheraton, between March 20 and December 16th last year. Let me see here. The breach occurred at food and beverage outlets at 14 hotels, including some operated by Westin Renaissance and Radisson Ames, between March 20 and December 16th. What else? Let's see here. Do we have a date for Marriott stuff? White Lodging, I guess that's the company that owns these. So the credit card data breach has been detected and exposed guests at certain Marriott, Holiday Inn, Sheraton, and other hotel properties under the management firm White Lodging Services. So I guess one company owns more than one chain. And so people had some problems there. And it was basically, I guess they're going to inform everyone that's been affected. But this is another data breach after the FBI has warned retailers last month to prepare for more cyber attacks, discovering about 20 hacking cases in the past year involving the same kind of malicious software used against Target. So everyone. It's going to be everyone in the country that's been affected. That's probably what it's going to end up being. Okay, how much gear do you have to take to the Olympics if you're covering the Olympics as a photojournalist? Oh, come on. Don't give me this little... Sometimes when I do a right-click on my browser window, I get this blink, blink, blink. I don't know what's doing that. So those of you that are watching, you can see this guy's packed out camera rig. And not bad. You ought to see my pack out when I go do something, cover something. It's definitely not that few pieces of equipment. But those of you that are active photographers, you can take a look at his two kit bags and what he's taking with him to the Olympics. And for those of you that are listening, a link will be up in the show notes for you to check it out as well. And this guy definitely shoots a lot of Canon gear. I can tell that. Looks like he's got the same flash, maybe the same flash I have. You know, I have to tell you a little story here. I just come back from the shop. I have a Canon 430EX2 speed light. And this is real nice. Real nice flash. And I've had it for a couple years now. And so just recently needed to shoot some stuff where I needed the flash. You know, we do a lot of outside stuff and I really, haven't had to use the flash that much. So when I just open a case and I pull the flash out, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I pop the battery lid and the batteries in it had just, I'm not kidding you. They had essentially exploded. And I got three out right away. One was kind of pinched in and there was you couldn't imagine the amount of green junk that was in this. Now I said, oh, I can fix that, you know, because what I've always done is I take a Q-tip and another corrosive Coca-Cola and dipped in Coke and then, scrub the battery residue, and it seemed to have always have worked. Well, not this time. This thing was done, and I was just upset with myself. Relatively expensive flash, and I just kind of threw it on the counter, really not thinking too much of it. My lovely wife, I was in Vegas. She called Canon. They said, "Oh yeah, just we've got a repair center here in Honolulu." He said, "Bring it on down, $80 flat rate. We'll fix it." And I got it back 2 days ago. It looks brand new. Much cheaper than replacing it, but $80 for four batteries left. Take the batteries out of your stuff, folks. Do that. Go look around for stuff that you haven't used in a while. Pull those batteries out because you may not be as lucky as me for dealing with a situation like that. Switching gears here, Chromecast announced today that they've opened their to developers their Google Cast SDK. So this is big. They had somewhat of an SDK already, but this is the updated final release version. So I sent this over to Angelo today, and I said, you know what this means? Because we've got a developer that updates our Chrome apps, and going to put him to work making sure that happens so we get that updated. Hey, over on Uber Gizmo, the Lockheed Martin has announced that they had an autonomous road convoy that they demonstrated where they had a huge number of vehicles in a convoy that was basically remote controlled. And they've got a set of software and hardware tools using LiDAR sensors. And there's a LiDAR video up on Geek News Central right now where they can basically have these vehicles self-drive. And they use the M915 Army trucks. Those of you that are Army guys, you know what this is a palletized loading system. Those vehicles were equipped with this system and sent on road trips. And they had very, very high success rate. This is exciting for the military guys out there because, you know, so many of our soldiers, airmen, Marines, they've been killed in, you know, these the transporting stuff. And, you know, if you can have these vehicles make these routes autonomously and maybe have a Predator or something above watching the convoy, making adjustments, or even maybe, you know, someone on CAP, you know, it's a team on CAP watching the convoy as it's moving, making adjustments, or minimum number of people in the actual vehicles themselves. I think this is pretty incredible stuff. So we'll see where this leads over time. But anything that keep the guys out of the IUD strike range is really important. Pebble has announced their app store. It's live. So those of you that have a Pebble, go check that out and get your app. Apple's reportedly putting together their own CDN. And this is kind of an interesting move here. They've used Akamai and L3 before. But if they're putting together their own CDN, maybe they're trying to lower costs by not having to pay them or make more control. Who knows? But that's the rumor that's going around right now. The government also wants our cars to talk to each other. The U.S. Department of Transportation is throwing its weight behind vehicle-to-vehicle, V2V, communication system. After years of experimentation and real-world trial in Ann Arbor, the government is almost ready to make peer-to-peer networking a required safety feature in all cars. So the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, has announced they'll begin taking the next steps toward implementing V2V by 2017. For those that don't know, V2V allows cars to share information about their position, speed, heading with each other, and alert a driver when there's a potential for danger. That could be a car speeding through an intersection ahead or a truck in your blind spot when you're trying to change lanes. While there's potential integration with automated collision avoidance systems, in the future, initially, DOT will be using a passive system. There's, of course, they say, oh, there's privacy things. It's not going to be a concern. Whatever. It's not going to be too long. You remember that movie where Arnold Schwarzenegger was in and he was a police officer that got put in cold storage, but every time he swore, he got a ticket. You know, that could be us in the near future, but they want our cars to talk to each other. 2017 is the date that they want all vehicles to have this on board. Hey, those of you that are game players out there that buy a lot of game apps, there's a great article over on Baekdal, Baekdal.com, talking how in-app purchases has destroyed the gaming industry. And he's got some interesting thoughts. And I have a tendency to agree with him. It's all about these games that always make you buy a bunch of stuff to play them instead of just buy and play. He talks about how this is really, you know, it's almost criminal is what he's referring to, how some of these apps are. And for those of you gamers out there, you guys can take a peek yourself at this and let me know what you're thinking. Send me comments back at geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, over on Gizmodo, I kind of shared with you guys before. I will admit I'm very sad. I was not able to score one of my first very important domains. Someone spent $1,100 for it. I wasn't willing to spend that kind of money. But there's all kinds of new domains going up for grabs here. And be honest with you, you're going to have to figure out what you want on your own because I'm not telling you what I'm buying. I'll tell you later after everything's over. We're all good friends. We're family, right? But this is a situation where you're going to have to figure out your own stuff to buy because I don't want you competing for the ones I've already requested or come in behind me. And because if two people pick the same domain, then it goes to auction and you have to bid. And I'm trying to prevent all those auction situations happening. But as I'm looking through all these domains that are coming available, you know, here's a Ninja Cheap. Luxury. If you want a luxury domain, $900 is what's going to cost you. Diamonds, plumbing, a coffee, cool, Kim, dating, expert. So all kinds of new top-level domains are coming online. It's actually going to be a little bit weird, and I think people are going to get a little overzealous. There's so many that you can get trouble. If you buy, and I'm being very limited. I'm very, I've actually only at this point about 7 domains have I picked out that I want, hopefully that I get. I'm not going to fight over them. You know, if I get them for the $40, that's what some of them cost, $30, $40, then I'll do that. Otherwise, if someone else gets them, so be it. I'm not going to battle over them because over time, there's going to be a lot more TLDs. And, you know, I think this maybe overall values are going to come down on domains because there's so many. All right, got to pick up the speed here a little bit so we can get through tonight. The Google Barge must move from Island Construction site in San Francisco. The state has ordered. The environmentalists got upset and basically demanded the city do something. And the notice came after the San Francisco Conservation and Development Commission investigated numerous complaints about the construction of the floating 4-story building and basically said, you have to move to another area and get that thing out of here. It needs to move. So Google said it's still reviewing a letter outlining the commission's concern about the secretive project. The Treasure Island Development is leasing space to build the barge for $79,000 a month on a contract set to expire in August. And for now, the Google job appears to be mired in regulatory limbo. And there's a whole bunch of people that are real happy about this, that Google is, you know, anytime Google tries to do anything or anyone tries to, you know, why are they in San Francisco if people hate them so much? Why don't they leave and go somewhere else? You know, move out of California, go, you know, go somewhere and take all those jobs and those tax dollars somewhere else. I'm sure the state of California can afford the lost jobs from Google. After 120 years, doctors have developed a new brain surgery technique. And really what they've decided to do is when they scalp you, that's the word they actually use in the procedure, when they scalp you to basically peel the skin away from your head, they're not going to take as many layers. So they found a safer, simpler way to do very complex surgery. First time in 120 years, and they can't believe they didn't think of it before. So these brain surgeons literally have figured out a different way to work on the brain. So if any of you are facing brain surgery, you definitely want to bring this article to someone's attention. Over on the Register, Bill Gates to pull Steve Jobs and save Microsoft. That's the report. And until someone else says any different, I'm sure we're all smiling. A little bit on my side is like, wow. Hey, the Air Force, boy, I tell you, this is a great way to spend taxpayer dollars. The Air Force is sending brand new cargo planes straight to the boneyard. The C-27J Spartan is a great plane, famous for its ability to take off from unfinished runways, a staple used by militaries around the world, including the United States. At least until recently, Air Force is sending its latest batch of beautiful brand new C-27J straight to the boneyard in Arizona desert. Wow. How many? How many did we, what did they cost? They cost, how much did they cost? They spent $500 million acquiring the new aircraft, only to realize in the sequestration cuts they couldn't afford it and didn't have a mission for it. Wow. So they're sending it to the boneyard. Brand new airplane. They'll sell them. They'll figure out someone to buy them. You know, that's what happens to a lot of airplanes that go to the boneyards. They go into foreign military sales, and then foreigners come in and buy them. Hey, Kentucky's done something smart. They're going to let kids swap foreign language classes for coding lessons. So some of you may not agree with this, but Senate has passed a bill that would count computer program classes as a foreign language credit. That way, if the student wants to learn code in favor of, say, French, why do they teach French in school anymore? French is not even a business language. If you want to teach a language in school, number one is probably Spanish is good. Probably Mandarin. Those are probably two that would be important to, you know. French, it just cracks me up. Why do they teach French still? I guess they have French teachers that are still tenured and they aren't going away, but. My daughter and son's school has a French class. They're going to France. And I'm nothing against the French. Don't get me wrong. But in today's business world, do we really need to speak French? they're going to be changing lighting in Los Angeles. There's a decision made by the city council. It's going to replace its high-pressure sodium streetlights, known for their kind of their yellow hue, with new blue-tinted LEDs, and the movie industry is very, very excited. Now, let me give you a look here of how this is going to change neighborhoods. And for those of you that are listening, you're going to want to go look at these pictures, some before and afters. So in the image I've got up on the screen, you kind of see this yellow tint to a street, and then half the street's been changed over to the new LEDs. Simply incredibly different. It's almost too bright. But the movie industry is really, really exciting. Here's an area that is yellow, and here's where it's been transformed to the new light. You can see the contrasting area that still has the yellow. But here would be like a image of someone that's shooting in the dark outside, as compared to what it's going to look like. So, you know, they're really, the movie industry is really excited about this change in LA. Of course, it's going to happen over time, but other cities have also chose to do this. I believe New York City is one of the other major cities that have decided to make the change as well. But it's going to be pretty dramatic. It really is. It's going to make it easier for security cameras too, to see stuff in the dark, I would imagine. iOS 8 is being reported are going to be largely focused on mobile health, so we'll see where that leads. And some rumors going on about the Apple Watch potentially being introduced as well at the same time. There's a great article over on the New York Times talking about the makers of Paper App has asked Facebook to change its new app name. So a little bit of a battle here that's going to go on. So we'll see what happens. But so the non-Facebook Paper App is made by small Seattle and New York-based startup 53, which is not too happy about Facebook's new app. The company's gotten in touch with Facebook, asking it to change the name of the upcoming app. On Monday, 53 released a public statement on its website asking Facebook to refrain from using the name. What could end up happening here is that Facebook may have to get out their checkbook. And Apple's also cracking down on apps that have been pulling the advertiser identifier but actually not showing ads. They're saying that some firms are using the Apple identifier to track basically utilization of the app, and Apple's not too happy about it and making them change. And the final article... someone in the chat room said, do business in Canada. French is an official language in Canada. I know it's the farther east you go, the more people speak French. That's for sure in Canada. Luckily, most people, Justin, still speak English in Canada. I don't speak hardly any Japanese either, so I'm not one to talk. Hey, this final article, FCC says it will double spending on high-speed internet in schools and libraries. Bravo, bravo. They're going to double the amount of money it devotes, and they want to provide broadband service for an estimated 20 million American students in 15,000 schools. And financing for the new spending will come from restructuring the $2.4 billion E-rate program, which provides money for advanced telecommunication and information services. The proportion that goes to broadband service in schools and libraries will increase from $2 billion a year to $2 billion a year from $1 billion. So nice to see that that happen. Okay, so let me go ahead here and let me see what we got in the show notes. Actually, in the emails, excuse me. And dun, 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 dun. What's that? I'm going to have to... Oh, they're talking about... Yeah, never mind. LinkedIn just sent me a note saying, hey, you got to use our new app. I got an email from Janie. She says, hey, Todd, Olympians and technology companies alike are bringing their A game to the Olympics. From the opening ceremonies being shot in 4K to live coverage of every sporting event, the Olympics are utilizing every cutting edge technology. She says NBC has planned for more than 1,000 hours of digital coverage. The amount and content and the size of those files will thus be large and complex to deliver around the world. Brevity, the software company that brought to market the first simultaneous transport transcoding solution and super accelerated file delivery, announced tomorrow that it's been selected to provide simultaneous transport and transcoding technologies during the production of the games. Brevity simultaneous super accelerated transport and transcoding technology makes moving large files for Olympics no longer a challenge. So we will see if Brevity is able to keep that up. Thanks, Janie. And I've done some reading about Brevity in the past. We'll see where this goes. Got an email. Oh, Jeff, you sent me this link too. Jeff sent me a link talking about the Kentucky law that's going to let kids swap foreign language classes for coding classes. Got an email here from MS Small Biz. And let me see here. What date did he send that to me on? Okay, that's still good. The last show was on the 30th. He says NASA has finished at $350 million. It finished at $350 million facility. It will now close. Well, I think we talked about this on the last show. Maybe not. But he says NASA's driven to explore exhib. In the case of a brand new NASA facility, the only thing that's out of this world is how much it costs to build. Considering it wasn't needed, the agency finished the A3 rocket testing tower at Mississippi Research Facility, which cost taxpayers $350 million to build. Because Congress ordered to complete construction, problem is the rockets it would have tested were part of a program that got canceled in 2010. NASA's Inspector General announced in February because the Constellation program was canceled in 2010, the A3's unique testing capabilities will not be needed and the stand will be mothballed upon completion. A Mississippi Republican got a measure passed in Congress to require the completion of the project. That, despite Congress's promise to rein in wasteful spending, the tower will have to be maintained, despite the fact it will not be used to the tune of $840,000 a year. Your taxpayer dollars at work. You know what? These idiots that we send to Congress, all they want to do is protect their little pet projects. And here we had $350 million that were wasted. And now we'll have to spend $840,000 a year to maintain it because they don't need it. Crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy. All right, I didn't monitor myself tonight, but how many times did I say basically tonight? Did I say it a lot? I hope not. All right, folks, let's wrap this thing up here and we'll move on. And we'll get you back in the game here for Thursday. I want to thank all of you for hanging out tonight or this today, wherever you may be listening to the show. I appreciate your support. And again, appreciate your support of our sponsor, GoDaddy. Definitely get out there and use those promo codes. It helps the show a great deal. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the show. And let's hope they bring all my promo codes back. I really want those still to be active for all of you to use as you see fit. Otherwise, we'll take a good fight back to them. We'll be definitely asking them for more general purpose codes for you guys to use as well. But I appreciate all of you for listening and watching. And thank you for being a loyal audience member. And thanks for putting up with my quirks and twerks. And no twerking here in the chair. But everyone take care. We'll see you on Thursday. Thanks so much. Take care. Aloha.